this week. What we're going to continue with today is the church. This is our third week, and we've been looking at the series of the church. First of all, we looked at what the church is, and there we said that we tried to make a distinction between what the church is and what the church is not, just so that we can have a clear understanding. Because I mentioned earlier that for anyone who doesn't really have a good understanding of what the church is, it will cause such a person to have a wrong, or should I say, have a misconception about the church, and that way, you know, that person could get upset with the church and just not really continue with the church. So we said the church is God's family. It's not an organization, although certain aspects of the church, like all these the administrative bits and all that, those are organizational, but really at the core of it, the church in itself is not. The church is God's family. So we saw that. The other thing as well we looked at in the second week was, we saw how the church lives as a group. We saw the things that the church did that distinguished them from other, if I can say, from other groups. We saw that for the church, looking at the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, they did a number of things that distinguished them. So when they met together, although they were a family and they did things together, we outlined that there were some specific things that they did as a church. The first was that they paid close attention to the Word of God. They studied the Word of God, the doctrines of God, quite seriously. We noticed that they came together and they met regularly. And for that one, we said that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that it's not enough for you as a Christian to say, I'm just going to sit in my house and watch internet preaching. That's fine, but that doesn't, you're not really, such a person won't really get the benefits of the church as a group. We also saw that the other thing that the church did was that they had communion called breaking of bread. And we saw that they didn't just have it just for the sake of it. It was to constantly remind them that everything that they were doing was centered around Jesus, around his death, his resurrection. And, you know, we read that as well. And that's one thing that Jesus said specifically that the church should do. So that's the third thing that they did. The final thing that we saw from that Bible passage in the book of Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47 was that these guys prayed a lot. In fact, on my way this morning, I just remembered a Bible passage where Peter had been put in prison and he was going to be killed the next day by Herod. And a group of people met together, and the church met together, the Bible says, and they offered prayers unto God to the point that they prayed so much concerning the matter that God sent an angel physically that went to release Peter from prison. So those are the things that we looked at and that we saw in the second part of how the church lives as a group. And for us as a church here, our aim, and for CFT, is to be able to live this kind of life where our focus as a group is based around this. All right. So today, what am I going to be looking at? I'm going to be looking at the third part. And in this one, I'll be looking at the believer in the church. I'll be looking at you and I as part of that church, or part of the church of God. What's the attitude that God expects us to have? What's the attitude that we should have as Christians, even if we're not there yet? What does God expect us to do? Or let me not say, what does God expect us to do? What kind of attitude should we have as a result of being part of God's, God's family and God's church? Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 44 to 47 again. Acts chapter 2, 44 to 47. And it says, all the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to one another as he had need. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So here we read something peculiar about these folks, and we went quite detailed into this. These were the things that they did. They met together. They cared so much for one another that if someone had a need, or if someone had, you know, some sort of like shortage or something, they were ready to even sell their belongings to ensure that nobody lacked anything within that church family. But what we want to look at is, okay, fine. These are the outward things that we see. In fact, some people could even say, well, you know, what are you talking about? There are people who are non-Christians and they're so good. They, you know, they do all these things. They're very helpful. In fact, I know people who are even non-Christians who are even ready to give away all they have to charity and all that. In fact, I even know some people who are not Christians who pray to their God and, you know, all this. So what's the difference? Why would you say, or what would be the distinguishing factor between the believer in this context and just any other person who can just do these things? So that's what we want to look at. Now, the thing that distinguishes the believer or distinguishes us as Christians is our attitude and how our attitude is formed. How your attitude is formed, how my attitude is formed. It's formed, yeah, I think I got that correct. You guys look a bit tired. Is it like Saturday night? I'm just playing. Yeah, Alex. So I'm going to look at three things that form our attitude as Christians. Now, the first thing I'm going to look at is that love for one another is our distinguishing factor. I'll look at that. The second thing I'll look at is why do we love one another as Christians? And I'm going to put a PS there. Maybe what I should say in that one is that why do we have the capacity to love one another? Because some people will say, look, man, I know a lot of Christians who don't love anybody at all. Well, so I'll say those folks have the capacity. So I'll say, why do we love one another? And why do we have the capacity to love one another that every other person who is not a Christian doesn't have? Then the third thing we'll look at is that love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. So the first thing we want to look at is on that, you know, what really distinguishes the believer, or what distinguished them in this context that we saw, in that we read in the book of Acts chapter 2. Let's go to the book of John chapter 13, verse 35. John chapter 13. Verse 35. I'll read from here. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By these all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus begins to say something here. He didn't say, by performing all these miracles and signs and wonders, people will know that you are my disciples. That's great. He asks us to do that. He didn't say, by being diligent in attending church services, that's how people will know that you're my disciples. No, we should attend church meetings, like I say, you know, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But that's not the distinguishing factor. That's not the thing that underlines the believer. Here, Jesus says it. He says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So that's the distinguishing factor. And, you know, I can tell you that, you know, as one grows up, you know, you leave primary school, go to secondary school, you go to university, and you start working. One thing that you will notice quite quickly along the way is that in the world, love from God's perspective is practically non-existent. It is practically non-existent. Now, when I say love, some people might say, oh, I know people who love themselves, who love people, and they're always doing good and all that. Now, let's qualify that love that people talk about. Now, if we look at, we won't turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul begins to say something here. He says, look, if you read through that, he now begins to mention the characteristics of love, the characteristics of love. He says, love is this, but there's something that, if you just hold it, that 13 one there, if you read the whole chapter, he begins to describe love in detail, but he says something. He says, if in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So what Paul begins to say is that, look, love is not what a lot of people think it is. That's God's kind of love. You know, and he says that if we do all these actions, we give to charity, he even goes as far as saying that, you know, even if you give yourself to be killed on behalf of someone and you do not do it based on God's kind of love, he says it's empty. It's a waste in God's eyes. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is that it's, and I'll mention one or two things that have just come to my mind before we end. You know, when the Bible says God is love, it is such a deep statement that as we begin to understand love for one another and love for God, it will transform our lives. And I'll come to that in a minute. So Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And, you know, the love that he describes is totally different sometimes from the love that we see in our everyday community. There was a friend of mine that called me just a couple of days ago, and we're talking, and he said how a couple of things had happened to him and how some people were just, you know, trying to trick him and mistreat him, mislead him and all that, and over something that was really simple. And he made a comment to me, and the comment he said to me was that, and I could see that this guy's a Christian, the comment that came from deep within him was, he said, man, Pastor K, what kind of world do we live in? I mean, how can this be? Is it that people have become so, you know, heartless? Is it that people have become so careless, so callous that, you know, so he was, and this is not like a young guy. This is a guy that has got a family and all that. But what really stood out to him in that circumstance was like, I mean, come on, how can people be so unloving? How can people, you know? So we begin to see here that even though there's love in the world as people describe it, we need to really qualify that love. Jesus said, by this people will know that you're my disciples. So that's what distinguishes us. And that was the underlining factor of the disciples that we read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, 44 to 47, that the thing that really caused them to do those things was the underlining love. So it was not just a show of outwardness. No, it was something that, no, but at least I don't think anybody told them to behave that way. You know, they didn't have the full Bible as we did now. It was just something that came out from them. So love is the defining factor of having this kind of attitude that will love people, that enables us to love our, you know, one another. It's the foundation of the attitude. Now, the other thing I want to now say, looking at the second part, is why do we love one another? Why do these folks love one another? And I put a PS at the beginning saying that, why do Christians have the capacity to love like this? And I use, why do Christians have the capacity, in the context that it's not all Christians, not all of us that love as we should. And I made a passing comment that some people be like, man, I met one Christian and that person doesn't love one bit. You know, but the thing is that if they're proper Christian, no, not proper, if they're a believer, they have the capacity. We all have the capacity. Now, why do we have the capacity and the world doesn't? We'll go through a number of things. First one is, one, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You see, this is so fundamental I tell you that it is, well, it is so fundamental to every Christian to understand this and to everyone to understand this. The Bible says if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he's a new creation. What that means is that as you're seated here, yes, you might still have, yes, we might still have our old ways of thinking. Yes, we might still want to, you know, do things that are not really right, because we need to renew our minds by the word of God, and we need to grow in the knowledge of God. But fundamentally speaking, everybody who is born again is a new creature in Christ, whether we see it or not. The thing is that fundamentally speaking, everyone that is born again is a new creature. So you are not, you do not have, and I'll say this, you do not have the sinful nature anymore. I'll qualify that. Everyone that is born again does not have, has the sinful nature has been removed from that man. That man is not driven by the sinful nature that everybody has. Now, the person still has what the Bible calls the old man. That's, there's something that you've learned since you were born that your body is so used to. That's why we still sin sometimes and do what we do. But fundamentally speaking, you are a new person. You're a new person. You are a new person in God's eyes. And why am I saying this? Now, what this means is that that new person has been created after God in love. So what that means is that inside of you, inside of me, we are new and we are created after, we have the attributes of God. With that, it's just like saying that if you're, let's say, I can't even find an example now, my mind is not, so what I'm just saying is that a lion who gives birth to a lion, you know, the lion cub, is it cub they call them, cubs, will behave like a lion automatically. If he's hanging around with goats, he might be trying to, you know, bleep, 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 but it's a lion. And a chicken that gives birth to a chicken will automatically behave like a chicken because they have the nature of the chicken or their mom and dad or whatever. The same way, as God's children, as born again, as believers, we have the nature of God in us. We might not know we do. Do you understand? So we grow in the knowledge of the nature of God that is in us. Do you understand? And that's why what begins to distinguish us, should I say distinguish our behavior. So the more of the nature of God we are aware of that is in us, the more of God, the more like God we are. So it's just growing in the knowledge of God. So it's not like, you know, it's just like you have someone who is just 2 years old, born into a family, you know what I mean? Initially, they don't know anything about the family affair, then their nappy is running up and down. But as they grow, they begin to change. You now know, okay, look, I need to put my clothes on. I need to do my dress, eat, go to bed, get mommy to cook for me sometimes, and daddy, you know. So they begin to grow in the knowledge of the things that they should do and how to cook, how to walk. They grow. So the fact that they grow doesn't mean it is as they grow that they become members of that family. No, they're members of that family. But what will ascertain the knowledge that they have or how they behave is just that they need to grow up. As they grow up, they will become, you know, more knowledgeable. I mean, I wouldn't give someone who is 10 years old my car to drive. They have the capacity, but they're just too young to do that at the moment. You know what I mean? And what you have, I remember when I was younger, and I'm an adult now. I don't know, I was just so overwhelmed by wanting to drive. And do you know what we used to do then? I thank God we didn't even get into the trouble. When my parents went out to work, we would, you know, sneak into the, and you guys mustn't try this. What we'd do, the garage, we had like a, where we live, the car would be parked in the garage, then we'll take the key. I mean, we must have been like 7 or 8. So we'll take the thing, you know, then we'll start the car. Boom, 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 like that. I was just thinking, God, it's a good thing we didn't put it in gear, you know. And, you know, we'll be like this, you know. True. Drive, you know, just boom. Prince, you used to do that before. Like, boom, boom. You know, and for us, it was like, woo. Do you understand? But we couldn't drive. Do you understand? So the same way, as a Christian, sometimes we want to do things that we're not, we haven't grown into. So we do things that are, you know, we think we're doing right, but is what we're doing, the consequence is really, really bad. It's because we haven't grown in the knowledge of God. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that the reason why we're able to love and we have the capacity to is because we're new creature and we have the attribute of God, which is love. And I'll see how this affects other things as well. Now, the other thing as well is this. Why are we able to love? Why do we have the capacity to love like this, folks, as well? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And I want to focus on the B part, but I'll just read it. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has poured God's love into our hearts. He continually is pouring God's love into our hearts. That's why, for a Christian, sometimes, you know, someone does something to you and you get upset and you go away. What will happen is the love of God in you, the Holy Spirit begins to fan it and he begins to prompt you. And because he's pouring that love in your heart and reminding you and fanning it, after a while, you now realize that even though you're annoyed at a person and you are like, your heart, you had imagined all sorts of evil. You know, you had thought of how when you see them next, you're going to tell them off. You're going to tell them, how dare you make noise when I'm trying to sleep. Then God's love will just be fanning in your heart. Then after a while, you'll be like, you know what, just forget it. I remember a place I worked of recent, not where I am at the moment. And it was quite like I was in a team, it was a very specialized team. And there was this chap that, quite a smart guy, but that guy, for some reason, I'm not quite sure what happened to me that day. I was in a really bad mood, which is quite, I don't know what happened to me that day. And, you know, normally I'm a really nice guy, as you guys can tell, you know, And this guy, I'll find you a nice guy. So this guy, we're having a conversation and there's something that he was talking about and he was asking me, there's something I was supposed to do and I'd done it. And he was saying, why did I do it this way? And I said, you know, the response I gave him was like, come on, that's like, you know, that's a silly question to ask. He's like, that's a dumb question. I'm not quite sure that's what I told him, but I said something like that. So the guy got upset and said, look, I'm just trying to da 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 da. And I said, look, I've done it like this, and you know, really, that's a really odd question. You shouldn't be asking that kind of question. So straightforward. And I blasted the guy and I walked away. And the guy left. You know, as I left and I was just going, that whole morning, the Holy Spirit was just saying, Pastor B. Pastor B. Pastor B. Pastor B, the guy deserved that to be spoken to like that. Pastor B, the guy deserved to be spoken. Why was he asking me that dumb question? You know what happened? At the end, I said, okay, I know I shouldn't have really spoken to the guy that way. And what do I do? Do I just leave it? So I went back to the guy and I called the guy and I said, look, I'm really sorry about the way I spoke to you. It was not appropriate. The guy was like, oh, no problem. You know, I said, no, there's a problem. The way I spoke to you was very rude and I'm really sorry and I apologize. So he was surprised. So that was me allowing the Holy Spirit, the love of God to shine in my heart. And we became that guy became my friend. So my pal. In fact, there was a meeting that I was supposed to have. The thing, I couldn't figure out something. He said, I know what's happening here. He came, got the engineers, they fixed it. So that's God's love. But I can tell you, that doesn't happen in the heart of people who are not believers. In fact, their hearts even get harder. gets harder, harder, and they begin to scheme and plan because there's nothing to pour that love in their heart. That's why people can do terrible things, because there's no, they don't have the restraint in their heart by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So God's love, why do we love, or why do we have the capacity? God's love has been shed in our hearts. We're new creatures as well. We're new, whether we understand it or not, we're new. Do you understand? Then the other thing as well is that we have, like I alluded to, we have the nature of God in us. And I'll look at, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John. Yeah, please come in. First, we'll look at 1 John chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. And, okay, let me just, is it working? 1 John chapter 4, let me just grab that. That's okay. 7 to 8. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So what the Bible is now telling us here is this, that everyone that is born of God, what does it say? Okay. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So this is telling us that, look, it's not like you making up your mind sometimes to say, look, I'm going to love this person, I'm going to be nice. You can try that, which is good. But what you realize is that for anyone who doesn't have the regenerated spirit of God in them, it's going to be like a hard thing to do. And what you find is that, you know, someone can carry on for a period of time, and after a while they just snap and that's it, because the nature of God is not there to help them. Do you understand? The nature of God is not there to help them. So what are we saying here? That the people in the book of Acts, and we as Christians, one, we can love one another because God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And that's how we're able to do that. Now, the next thing we want to look at, and we'll end, is that number three, love fulfills the law. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. Are we there? So it says, let no debts remain outstanding except the continuing debts to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. It says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. Whatsoever commandments there are, they are summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It says, and do this, understanding the present time. So what am I saying here? The Bible is saying here that love is the fulfillment of the law. I was explaining something on Friday, and I said that the purpose of the law in the Bible was to restrain man. If there's no law, let's even talk about general law, this world would be chaotic. There was a man, I was watching this preacher, he came from a certain part of Africa. And, you know, I remember when I was, you know, back in that region as well, driving was like driving in a jungle, so to speak. It was free for all, no speed limit and everything. It was like all these things you see about, you know, this man waits to let you pass at the roundabout. It was free for all. And, you know, when he came to a certain part of England here, and he was driving, he was staying with a gentleman in England here, and the man was taking him around. And he said, wow, back where I'm coming from, the driving is so rough. Everybody here is so law-abiding. You know, they wait for you at the traffic lights and all that. And he was so impressed. Then on one day, something happened where he was in London. The traffic lights stopped working. And he said that day, it was as if he was catapulted back to that place he was coming from in Africa. Everybody went haywire. In London, brum, brum. So all that gentle. He now said, hang on, why is this happening? Everybody went haywire. The guy that was even taking him as well, I think maybe there are no traffic lights. So the guy was speeding. And he said, ah, hang on, what's changed here? He said, look, if the reason why I was driving so carefully was because if I go past the speed limit, 2 days, there will be a letter in my house. Points. So we see here that what he was just trying to say, that the thing that restrains people is the law. Do you understand? The law that restrains people, and it is the fear of punishment. So some people will not do something, or you and I will not do certain things sometimes, because you know that if you're caught, you pay a big consequence for it. So we begin to see here, what does Jesus mean here when he says that love fulfills the law? Now, what I was just trying to explain there is the fact that as we let the love of God, as you know, believers, abide in us, we will do things automatically because we want to. So we will not steal because we don't want to steal, not because we are fearful that we will be caught. Do you understand? We will not do things in a correct manner because if we don't do it that way, we'll be caught or something bad is going to happen to us. No. So Christ is saying that if the love of God is in us, that love that he has put in us will help us to behave, help us to live life naturally obeying the law. So what he was saying is that in the previous one we read, that for a man, you won't want to, if the law of God is in your heart, you won't want to mistreat someone. Even if you do, something inside you will come up, the love of God, and help you, it will direct you or convict you so that next time you try and behave better. Now, you now behave better, not because you're forcing yourself to behave better, not because you've made up your mind, which is good, no, but because there's something inside of you. The life of God that is inside of you is naturally changing you. That new life in you is what is causing you to behave the way you are. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I'm saying that the reason these guys were able to behave that way, and the reason why as Christians we have the capacity to love one another and to care for one another, is one, love. We have the love of God in us. We're new creatures and we have the nature of God in us. I'm going to finish in a minute. Now, I'm just going to mention one or two more things here. Now, the next thing I want to mention is this. What this means is this. Everyone that is not born again, right, is under the law. Everyone that is not born again, anything that they do, they're doing it with raw determination. They're doing it with raw determination. So what that means is this. It's not good enough to tell someone, maybe when you're preaching the gospel, change your ways, then God will accept you, because that's not possible. Change your ways, then God will accept you. That's not possible. Or we tell someone, try and be a good person first, and you know, all these things you do that are not good, you know, change them, then you know, God will accept you. Such a person does not have the capacity to do that. They do not. They can try, but it's only short-lived. The only thing that changes a person, that can change the life of a person, is that born-again experience where God changes us from inside and we now have the capacity to love and to live life the way God has asked, in Jesus' name. Let's just rise up and pray for a minute, please, if you don't mind. Let's rise and just pray.